Hi, friends. Welcome to the Scripture Society podcast, where we help women on their journey of knowing and loving Jesus more and more every day. Our hope is that we can help you tell a more beautiful story and grow in your knowledge of the one who wrote it. Hi, Kylie.
Hey.
How are you?
So good. It's amazing. Spring.
It's spring.
I'm avoiding my allergies, but I'm enjoying the weather.
Praise God.
So nice.
The Lord is good for many a reasons.
Many reasons.
However, maybe my favorite right now is that. And sorry, I really don't mean to do you like this, but pollen doesn't affect me.
See, actually, okay. Pollen does not affect me either, except today I had a work event where we had a make your own bouquet situation.
Right.
And I was preparing the flowers and then I touched my face afterwards and I felt like my face was on fire. So apparently I am allergic to maybe one of those specific flowers that we were using.
Yeah.
But pollen, usually I'm fine. Yeah. Usually I'm chill.
I didn't realize that allergies are something that you can develop as you get older.
Oh, shoot.
So I really hope my mom has developed a pollen allergy. Oh, she used to not be allergic, but now she is. So I'm just praying to the good Lord that he will stay true to me.
It more just bugs me because it's gross.
Yeah.
I hate when I look out on my balcony and it's yellow.
And the crazy thing is it's only like that in Georgia.
It's disgusting.
I used to live in Texas and pollen wasn't something visible that you could see.
It's so gross here.
But I will say, all my words are leaving me. I feel like this is the second episode that we're recording, so I feel like by the time we get to the second episode, my tongue just stops working.
And our brains.
And our brains, too. So just bear with us.
Yeah.
But I do get wrecked by mold. I'm highly allergic to mold. I did live in a house that had mold for a year and a half, and I got sick every 3 months, and I went home,
I'd get
better, and then I'd go back. And so ever since I moved out, I have not gotten sick once. Thank God.
Literally.
Thank God. I am free. I am free.
Free from mold.
I am free from mold.
Oh my gosh.
And free from pollen.
That's so nice.
But anyways, I have a question for you.
Okay.
When's the last time you talked to a stranger?
I don't talk to strangers often.
That's probably good. I really listen to Stranger Danger.
I'm not like... We have a lot of friends who were and Olive being one of them, who were so friendly to strangers. And I'm just not one of those people. You'll never catch me starting a conversation randomly. They have to approach me. And most of the time I'm why are you talking to me? Oh my gosh. But today, actually.
Really?
Yes.
Do tell.
And it's nothing crazy, but at that work event that I was talking about, lots of people work at my company. So naturally I don't know all of them.
Yeah.
And it was an event that was open to some people who don't work at my company. And I was running that flower cart that I was talking about. And this sweet boy, I have no idea who he is. I don't know if he works at my company, whatever. I'm sorry, I did say that so weird.
She got she just got real southern. She said, this sweet little boy.
Oh,
he came up to me right with my flower cart.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Anyways, also when I say boy, he's probably my age.
Yeah, he's definitely a full grown man.
He's probably my age, but most of the guys I work with are older than me. So he seemed
He's a little boy.
I noticed that he was young. And he was making a bouquet for someone, I think it was his mom, he said. And he was going around asking all of the women what their favorite flower was.
That's so cute.
I was literally, are you for real? And I knew he was coming for me. I saw him go to everyone.
Yeah.
And he came up to me and he asked me and I told him that my favorite flower was a tulip.
It's a good one.
And he was he was just being so sweet. He was asking me do you love arranging flowers? And I was
did you show him your ring?
My ring?
Yeah.
What ring?
Your engagement ring.
Oh.
Marriage, you are a taken woman.
I was like, what ring?
No, because I'm how much did he talk to you?
No, not that much.
Okay, good.
But he was
good,
so sweet. He definitely thought that I was somebody my company hired to run this flower cart.
Oh, yeah.
And I was well, I actually don't do this for a living, but it is so fun to get to do something like this with my hands. And I told him that I have a friend who owns a floral company. And I was I definitely.
Love you, Sophia.
Yeah, we love you, Sophia. I was like, I have a high appreciation for it. I was like, it's so fun. And he was just being so sweet. He was like, it's so beautiful. And he was like, everybody seems like they're having so much fun.
That's so sweet. I didn't mean to project any
no, I
negative
know. That's always intentions. My first thing too. I'm like immediately touching my face with my ring finger and I'm like,
I just, because normally boys don't talk to you if they're a stranger unless they're.
Yes. But this kid was giving such sweet vibes. Wholesome. He was talking to all the old ladies, so like asking sweet. Them like what their favorite flower was.
And
it
you
was
know
so
what?
Sweet.
Tulips are so good. What I love about tulips is that they're so sculptural.
Their movement.
They move.
I love it. That's
they
exactly
try to
what I
find
said today.
The sun. Yes.
I was like, I don't really like the flowers that are like straight.
Yeah.
So
I'm
straight.
I'm really into sculptural house plants. Really into
like some
a
vines?
Good, yeah, or like a good tree, the one that's kind of skinny
tree.
And scraggly,
like a floppy tree.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But one that's kind of has some movement.
Oh yeah,
to the trunk that's a little bit leany or a little bit sculptural. I noticed this in New York. New York knows how to do branches. They have such good branches.
Top thing I always hear about New York. They know how to do branches.
Okay,
they're
okay.
Like five trees.
Okay, but, like, I'm talking about interior design branches.
Yes,
sorry,
yeah.
sorry. Let me clarify.
But just
they know. But if you walk into any store.
Oh, yeah.
They've got a giant pot with giant branches.
They
with
do.
Beautiful blooms. And it's real. And it's sculptural.
Yes.
And it's beautiful.
It's so true. I literally, yeah. When I was in New York not that long ago.
Branches.
I went to a coffee shop that was full of gigantic, like, trees inside. And I was like, stunning.
Stunning. Stunning. I don't want a sculpture that a man made. I want a sculpture that God himself made.
That's such a good quote.
Sorry.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Wait,
Olive, when was the last time you talked to a stranger?
Oh, yeah.
Probably
so,
5 minutes ago.
I am someone who talks to strangers a lot. Sophie and I, she's one of our good friends, she's the one who owns the floral business. It's fun because I feel like this podcast is just us talking to our friends.
Sometimes I forget.
Yeah.
Like,
so I'm like, yeah, you know Sophia. She's the other half of my brain cell.
She was on the podcast.
She was on the podcast. That's true.
So
you would know her.
You would know her.
Yeah, you would know her. She's the best. Anyways. So I forgot where I was even going with that.
Where you talk to a stranger.
Oh, yeah. So when you put us two together, I don't know, we attract a lot of strangers, but
you
also
do.
We yap to a lot of strangers and a lot of interesting people, which is really fun.
It scares
but
the crap out of me when I'm alone with you two.
But it's great because you don't have to do any of the talking.
No, I just stand there and
you
watch.
Just stand there and watch and see what interesting interaction happens.
And where it
but
leads
I feel
us.
Like there's just so many times where it's like, when I'm in an elevator with another stranger, I feel like it's almost rude not to say something.
That's just crazy that that's your perspective.
Because I feel like it's just more awkward if you just ignore them and pretend like they're not there. And so I won't always strike up a conversation, but I'll just...
That's so good of you.
I'll at least just, like, make eye contact and give a little smile.
Oh.
And normally that's all it takes, you know?
Yeah.
Or, you know, just give them... Just acknowledge their existence.
That's so true.
You know? Anyways, but today... I took my lunch break at this adorable little park near my office. It's called the Friends of Duck Pond, and it's this adorable neighborhood that was established in the 20s, and they built communally this little pond with ducks, and they just have ducks roaming everywhere. And these ducks are so friendly, they will just come right up to you. But it's just so dreamy, and they have a giant willow tree, and it's just the perfect... little lunch break. So I went out there with my little picnic blanket and my little journal and my little Bible, and I just had a little prayer, prayed for some ducks, prayed over some ducks. They were coming up to me, so I assumed that's what they were coming for, you know? They needed it.
Yeah.
And everyone who is there is precious because they're all just walking their dogs in the park, and there's this really cute couple that came to have their lunch break, and they had their little sweet green, and they had a little package of watermelon from Publix, and they brought their little picnic blanket, and they just had lunch.
That's precious.
In the park during the lunch day, or during the work day, during the lunch day,
during the lunch,
during their lunch on a work day. I'm like, man,
that's so cute.
We have free will. I have free will. I can just go to a park during my lunch. I could. I can. I should.
That's
anyways.
Crazy.
I've been doing that weekly. But anyway, so she came up to me because she took a picture of me when I was journaling in the park, and she said, hi, I hope you don't think this is weird, but I took a picture of you and it's really cute, so I want to airdrop it to you. Airdrop, turn on your airdrop. And so and then I found out that she's MK and she works at an office down the street, and anyway, she's precious. So That was the last time I talked to a stranger.
That is just such a precious experience.
It was a very wholesome
moment. Actually, both of these were so wholesome.
They were.
That's not what I expected.
Yeah, me neither. And they both happened today.
Right? Yeah, they did. That's so rare for me, though.
Look at us talking to strangers. On the right day. So, the reason why, this is a segue. This is a brilliantly strategized segue by me, by yours truly. Because we're talking about evangelism.
Yes, we are.
And sometimes that requires talking to a stranger.
Sometimes it does.
But not just talking to a stranger. Asking a stranger, hey, what is your deepest core desire? And is it unsatisfied? If so, got some good news for you.
You literally sound like you're recording an ad.
Don't say that. That was a terrible, in case you couldn't tell, that would not work. Good. It was a little creepy. But sometimes it does require it. I remember Val coming on our episode about prayer, and it was so good, and she's so precious. But one thing that really stood out to me, she was talking about how if you just really listen to people, they'll probably tell you a need that they're experiencing.
Oh, for sure.
And that really convicted me because I'm like, man, I don't think I'm really listening to people when they talk to me.
That's good.
Because I'm a yapper. So I will just yap, 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 yap and not actually listen to people when they're talking to me. I think it's also a little bit of ADHD tendency of where I just get so excited. I'm like ready to say my thought. Yeah. So I'm just waiting for them to close their mouth so I can finish my thought. which is really just not super respectful or empathetic to the other person. But I think is a conviction to me of, do I actually listen to people? Because if you are actually listening to people and asking good questions, a lot of times they will reveal to you a need or an unfulfilled desire.
For sure.
That is an opportunity for you to share the gospel.
That's good.
So anyways, I'm probably jumping ahead a little bit.
No, that's good. I think one thing I would say too at the beginning of this episode is I've titled this episode, Is Christianity Worth Sharing?
Ooh, spicy.
And the reason I've titled it that is because I think if you, like we would all say yes, but then it's like that question is at the root of if you're sharing it or not.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't even say that in a way to like incite shame, but it's like, you know that it's worth sharing. Mm-hmm. So that should be like where we start this conversation of like all of this, what we're about to talk about is worth discussing and spending time thinking about because we truly believe in God and his plan for the world. And because of that, like it changes the way that we communicate with other people, the way that we listen to other people, like you said, and that's the heart behind evangelism and apologetics.
Yeah.
So I think starting there and, you know, I'm hoping we'll talk about both apologetics and evangelism because they're like kind of different, but you know, at the same time they go together.
Yeah.
So when we say apologetics, because I feel like sometimes this word gets used and I heard it so many times growing up without ever knowing like specifically what that word meant. But apologetics is more the side of like giving a reasoned defense for what you believe. So it would be more like somebody asks you a question or like, you know, you'll see debates online or whatever, defending your faith. That's more the apologetic side. And then evangelism is more the side of like sharing your personal experience, sharing the gospel. So a lot of times you'll see these working together.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you'll see them really separate. But for this conversation, we're gonna talk about like both of them.
Yeah.
So just to kind of set the scene there, do you have anything you'd add to that?
I think that's great. I think apologetics, for me, at least when I had my little faith crisis a couple years ago, it was essentially apologetics because I didn't know why I believed what I believed.
Right.
And so I think an important note when you're talking about apologetics is it's not only being able to articulate why you believe what you believe for other people, but a lot of times it's for yourself as well. Because if you haven't done the work yourself to figure out why you believe what you believe, when people ask you questions about your faith, it's going to rock you.
Right.
And that's so good. I think it's a good practice for all of us, whether you consider yourself to be an academic or a communicator or not.
Yeah.
You should be able to articulate in your own words not only the gospel, which is evangelism. Right. So evangelism is articulating the gospel for other people.
Right.
Apologetics is articulating why you believe what you believe,
right.
Why you believe in the gospel.
That's good.
And both of those things are equally important for everyone who's a believer
yep.
to be able to do in their own words.
Yeah.
For themselves and for other people.
Yeah. So that goes to show, like, the first step in this conversation, this practice is you have to ask yourself those questions.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, before even thinking through, like, who am I going to talk to, whatever, it's like, well, make sure that you know, like, what do you believe?
Mm-hmm.
Can you articulate the gospel? Can you articulate your own story?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, you know, what are, can you articulate, like Olive just said, why do you believe what you believe? So, like, that's what we would say, like, you're starting there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Making sure that you can do those things. And we would say it takes time.
Yeah.
I think also your answers will change over time,
yeah.
which is such a good thing as you grow. Like, I'm thinking back of all the times I've shared my testimony. Every time, it's so different and almost like the lens that I share it, if that makes
yeah.
sense. Like, the facts of my life are the same.
Mm-hmm.
But as I grow, I have a new, like, bigger perspective of the way the Lord's been working in my
yeah.
life. And I would say the same thing for why I believe what I believe.
I think that's a beautiful way to invite the Holy Spirit into sharing your testimony.
Absolutely.
Because I think that is proof that the Holy Spirit is emphasizing and giving you a lens in which to communicate to that particular person
yeah.
that he's put before you.
Definitely.
And so I think that's so beautiful. Maybe it should be different every way, not in a sense that you're lying or exaggerating,
no.
but asking the Holy Spirit to emphasize what should be emphasized and de-emphasize the things that should be de-emphasized.
Right. That's good.
And so I think that's beautiful. It's an opportunity
yeah.
for the Holy Spirit to use you to communicate something to someone else in a way that is intentional and particular for their lived experience.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. So similar to, like, we've done in a few episodes, before we kind of get into the practicalities, maybe some of the obstacles, like, where do we find this in scripture? Because we're never bringing up things on this podcast that's just like a cultural Christianity thing. Like,
yeah.
we believe all these practices are rooted in scripture,
mm-hmm.
right?
And practiced by Jesus.
Yes. Yeah. So a lot of these are going to be well known. And I think they're well known because, you know, a lot of times when you grow up in the church, you're hearing these things as, like, maybe it's like in youth group when it comes time for spring break, it's mission trip time.
Yeah.
And they're going to share these verses. Or maybe you learned, like, the Romans Road, how to share the gospel. Like, these are well known for a reason, right? But I think sometimes it's good to look at them with a new light. Like,
yeah.
even when it just comes to, like, these things, like personal relationships, not just like street evangelism with tracks and mission trips.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, like, can be a deeply personal daily thing too.
Yeah.
So.
And it probably should be.
For. Yes, that's the case we're making, if that's not clear. That's what we're going to be talking about. So I'll read maybe like two of them, and then maybe you can read two of them, Olive.
Great.
We only have a few for you. Okay, 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect.
Oh, so good.
Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes.
Hmm. Matthew 28:19-20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us.
Hmm. That's good. Yeah, and obviously you'll notice, like, you have one of these being Jesus, two of them being Paul, one being Peter. This is like a large, I won't even say large, like the biggest point of, like, the church
mm-hmm.
when it was created.
Yeah.
It's like the point is we're sharing what Jesus
yeah.
did. A lot of what we've been saying in past episodes, like fast, when we talked about fasting, when we talked about Sabbath, is like these were things that were normal in like
mm-hmm.
the early church.
Yeah.
And then now we've come to like be really like relaxed on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because we would say, oh, we're not relaxed on them. There are people who do evangelism and apologetics for full-time jobs. But I'm not talking about those people. I'm
yeah.
talking about like the day-to-day Christian.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And thank God for those people who like value this so much where they're like, I'm going to spend my whole life doing
mm-hmm.
those things. I wish I could be more like them. But what we're talking about is like the practical day-to-day conversations, the normal person in a church, like these verses, you know, realizing that like this was so important to the early church. It was like
yeah.
the thing.
Yeah. Something that is so interesting. Recently, I was in New York and I went to John Tyson's church, Church of the City. Love that guy. Love that church. They're doing all of these spiritual formation disciplines so well, so well. But the whole talk that he was giving was on the minimum standard of discipleship. And he was articulating what that meant in the early church.
Yeah.
And they had a whole process in order to even become a disciple, to even become a Christian, to be a part of a church.
Yeah.
There was someone who had to walk with you through all of the different things, through all the different practices, through all of the different standards and confession and practice and healing. Oh, it's so crazy. This is crazy. But back in the early church, because it was a pagan culture, they kind of came to people with the assumption that they had some sort of demonic influence on them.
Hmm.
That was their assumption. And so they did healing.
Like, just in case.
Isn't that crazy?
It really is.
So anyways, that's like besides the point. But they would go through all of these things for you to even become a disciple. And right. then as soon as you became a disciple, you were supposed to do that for another person. And that was the minimum standard of discipleship back in the day.
It's like, this is minimum what's required of you as a Christian.
Exactly.
Is that somebody's going to walk through these things with you. Yes. Which, first of all, that's – we don't even do that very
no.
well. And then second of all, you're going to turn around yes. and do it for someone else.
Yes. And that's what evangelism and apologetics are kind of about, especially yeah. evangelism. We're kind of talking more about the evangelism piece right. in this section. But John Tyson was also talking about how his life was changed. He was evangelized and he was yeah. brought into the church when he articulated this way. And it was so good. When a man got him in the crosshairs of his attention and his love.
Hmm.
And so when he was in between the attention and love of this man, he was discipled in the way of Jesus.
That's cool.
And so I think that that's something that we can pray about when we're praying towards, how do I evangelize? How do I preach the gospel to other people? How do I disciple other people? Is ask God to put someone on your heart so you can get them in the crosshairs of your attention and your love. Mm. Because those two pieces are the things that compel people to Jesus.
Yeah, that's really good.
Because if you give someone attention but not love, then they're not going to be interested in what you have to sell. If you give someone love but your attention is not consistent, then they're not going to be interested in what you have to sell.
Yeah.
And so it's like you have to be willing to make disciples. That means to get people in the crosshairs of your attention and love and equip them and walk, truly do life with them and walk them through the process of repentance, confession, repentance, and healing
yeah.
to get them to a point where they can then do that for other people.
That's really cool.
And that used to be the minimum standard of what a disciple was yeah. back in the early church. So I don't know if that's like super connected, but that's something
that I feel like it makes sense. Like,
I thought was really interesting.
The early church saw that as like a rhythm of like, one, that you were going to be formed in these things that we've spent this whole season talking about. And two, once you were formed, the expectation was that you were passing it along.
Yes.
So that's kind of what we're in. Like, this is one of the last episodes of this season. We've talked about these things that should be forming you.
Yeah.
And now, like the early church, our expectation is that you're going to share
yeah.
this with someone else.
For ourselves as well.
Yeah.
And I think that when you think about what that means, it's so simple, and it's kind right. of one of the basic tenets of our faith that we learn really early on. But like you said before, the way that we're doing it is indicative of how much we believe it ourselves.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And when we think about the persecution and the standard of discipleship and the cost that it really cost people to follow Jesus back in the early church compared to what it does today.
Oh, yeah.
There's a huge difference there. And so it's asking us, like, okay, is the story of Jesus, is the gospel really worth it to us
yeah.
to put it out there, to put ourselves
yeah.
out there
yeah.
and invite other people into it?
That's so good. I've recently just been really almost like subconsciously challenged and encouraged in this in my workplace, because I work at a faith-based nonprofit, and I'm not used to being in around such people that, like, we're not working at a church. It's not even like necessarily like a Christian like nonprofit. Like, we're just faith-based.
Yeah.
And these people, they talk about God when they're talking about everything. It is in everything.
Wow.
And that is like, that is what evangelism should be. You know, like, I'm not saying it can't be other things the way we see it. Yeah. You know, it can be those things, but it's like, really, Like, as simple as, like, all was just saying. Simply, it's like, does God come up when you talk about things? Mm-hmm. Because he's so ingrained in yeah. your life that, like, you can't tell your story or even talk about things without him coming up.
Yeah, it's true. I think this is funny. Me and one of my friends were talking about, she's been going on dates and meeting new people and in the sort of dating season. And she's talking about how Christianity and God comes up really easily, and that is a great indicator of whether she's going to go on a date or not with someone. That's is so it good. Comes up so quickly that guys are either here for it or they're not quickly, and so it sifts them out. But what I love about her sharing that is that it's so deeply a part of her weekly rhythm and her weekly life and her everyday life that you know, when someone asks you, oh, like, what are you up to today? She's like, oh, well, I'm going to a Bible study and I'm going to go do this. Or, oh, like, I can't do that. I already have this commitment at church. Or, you know, like, oh, I'm going to go and this morning I read this gospel verse and or I read this Bible verse. And, you know, it kind of set me up for this day. So it should be a part of your daily and weekly rhythm that if it's not coming up in your conversations with people, I would ask yourself, one, are you doing the things that we should be doing as like a minimum standard of discipleship? And two, are you scared to share those things? And I definitely feel myself, I'll be so honest. I work for a church. And so that's the number one thing that you get asked when you meet someone new is like, oh, what do you do? I work for a church. It's always the thing it's right there, right at the beginning. And in the South, I'm more than happy to share that. But when I've been in other contexts like Washington, where I knew that that wasn't going to go over well, I waited a long time to share that. And eventually I did. But I noticed myself having the fear of man, even when when I know I'm in a context in which Christianity is not the cultural norm. And even more so when it's sort of seen as a threat. And some of the most interesting conversations that I've had have been in those contexts because it's such an easy, oh, I work for a church, and people are like,
immediately have questions.
Immediately I have a lot of questions. First of all, why? Second of all, aren't the Mormons crazy? This happened to me once. And then I had to explain that not the same as Mormons. But it's just funny because I think in the South we're so protected and cushioned by cultural Christianity that it's easy for us to forget that it's not like that in the majority of the world. And so as we're talking about evangelism, just know that we are fully aware that we're talking from the perspective of two young girls living in Atlanta, Georgia, in the Bible Belt. So apologetics and evangelism is probably going to look really different if you live in a New York, or if you live in a Portland, or if you live in, you know, a Washington state, or in a London. I don't think we have anyone listening to us in London, but like maybe one day, you know.
That'd be awesome.
But if you're living in a context that's not, that's more antagonistic to Christianity.
Absolutely.
So we say that with nuance and with a lot of humility.
Yes.
But we're gonna give some general principles that are helpful. In whatever context you're in.
That's good. So before we get there, I kind of have like a, just because we love theology here. Why would, okay, I want you to answer this all. You might not be prepared for this, but
I'm not.
I think you'll be fine. Why would God want us to be a part of this work? Can't God do it on his own? And also, if we believe God is sovereign, why do we believe that we have a part to play?
Is it sort of like a predestination question?
I was trying to say it without saying. But like, okay, so for us coming from the understanding of that perspective, why, let's just put it out there, okay? If we believe in predestination, which there, this is not, we're not going, we're not diving deep, but there are a lot of verses that talk about it, right? Like God choosing us, things like that.
We're the chosen people. I just read in Matthew 22, the end of what Jesus says in Matthew 22 is, a lot will be invited, but few will be chosen.
And you have like Ephesians 1, Romans 8 and 9. So we're not using this as a defense for that. But if we're coming to this conversation from a predestination perspective, why is this still worth doing? Why does this not become obsolete?
God is going to do whatever he wants to do with or without you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a gift that he invites you into it.
Yep.
So in the grand scheme of, you're not going to save someone on your own strength and in your own power.
Yeah.
But the Lord does invite you to be a part of someone else's story.
Mm-hmm.
If you're willing and available and not distracted.
Right.
And yeah. I think that distraction is probably the number one thing that keeps us from doing this, because it's so easy to get wrapped up in our own lives and our own worries and our next to do and our next, you know, thing that we're thinking about that needs to get done, that we miss the people who are around us. But I'm thinking about Matthew, again, 22, because I was reading it this morning, I think, and the Pharisees are asking Jesus what the greatest commandment is.
Yep.
And he talks about love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind,
mm-hmm.
and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
As equally important. And defining your neighbor has been kind of a debate throughout history, but one of the compelling answers that I have heard is that your neighbor is anyone who God puts in your life.
Yes.
I think that we probably think about it more theoretically, but if you're living next door to someone and they don't know Jesus, that's God probably divinely and sovereignly put you there so that they could know mm-hmm. Jesus.
Yeah.
And so if God is going to save them, he's going to save them. It's just a matter of whether you get to be part of the story or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I don't know if that helps.
No, I think that's good. I think that's a good place to start. I've thought through this a lot, because oftentimes when it's come up, you know, like conversations about this, it's like, oh, well, you believe in predestination. Like, doesn't that make mm-hmm. evangelism like
pointless? Yeah.
And exactly how we started this episode, Jesus has changed my life. How could I not talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
And like, that doesn't hinder that, mm-hmm. right? Like, how could I not talk about it? So then you have that. Two, we just read a bunch of verses where it says to do it.
Yeah.
So the same Bible that talks about like being chosen, God mm-hmm. being sovereign over all things, also tells us that it is a command, whether we think it's obsolete or not, to mm-hmm. go and share, right? There's nothing like, and this is Jesus saying like these things, mm-hmm. both of these things. And I think, you know, it's a part of living out our lives. And like Olive said, God's going to do it either way, but he wants to use us.
Which is such a gift. And I think also, it's such an opportunity for you to experience tangibly the Holy Spirit using you and working through you. Because I think that there's a lot of ways you can experience the Holy Spirit, which is the third person of the Trinitarian God.
Yeah.
He's the one who makes God tangible to us.
Yeah.
You can experience him more through the work of evangelism. Because I think that it's really cool when you're praying for someone to hear the gospel or for the Lord to put someone on your heart, and then you start talking to them and an opportunity comes up for you to share the gospel, and then you say something that they have been wrestling with in their own lives, in their own hearts, and you didn't even know that. And and the only reason you could possibly have spoken that truth to them in a particular and tailored way is through the movement of the Holy Spirit. And so I think it's also, evangelism is an opportunity for us to grow in our knowledge and our experience and in our relationship with the Holy Spirit that empowers us.
Absolutely.
So it's an opportunity for us to practice the Holy Spirit's power and calling on that power to help minister to someone else. And there's nothing more beautiful or joyful than that.
No, yes, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's good. I know that was like a little
Was a little curve.
But I think it's worth, you know, some of these things, like as you read the Bible, like these might be questions that pop up for you.
I mean, I think especially when we're talking about all of the different practices and commands of the Bible, it's easy to despiritualize them. But these are called spiritual practices for a reason, because they're spiritual. And so if we try to decouple them from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, then we're going to be stuck with empty practices instead of powerful formative rhythms in our lives.
And the reminder that should always be made in these conversations is, we've already said it, but like, we're not the ones saving people.
No.
And that is what takes the pressure off, that a lot of times like gives us this fear that ends up like causing us to never talk about it. It's like, there's not pressure, because if we believe in the sovereignty of God, that affects the way that we view evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that the Spirit is going to guide us in these conversations. We believe, you know, Jesus tells the apostles that like when they are put in front of rulers and people and questioned, that the Spirit is the one that will give them these answers.
Yeah.
And I think that same thing is true for us.
Yeah.
And that goes in with apologetics. Like, apologetics and evangelism, it's not just about giving right answers. Yeah. It's about sharing what Jesus has done. And he sent the helper. It's yeah. not like we're just now dependent on like, okay, I need to know these things, do the best I can. That's true. But we've also been literally sent the third person of the Trinity to help us do it.
Yeah.
To give us what yes. we need to say.
And Jesus says that that's better yeah. than him being physical.
Yeah. It's for our benefit that he leaves and the Spirit comes.
Which is so crazy to me. Sorry, I'm taking this another direction.
No, that's okay. But
I'm reading this book called The Familiar Stranger by Tyler Staton, and he kind of frames the entire book around the idea that Jesus said to the apostles when he was going to die on the cross, or before he goes to die on the cross, he says, don't worry, there's something better coming. Mm-hmm. And how many of us in our current experience with Christianity in our face would trade all of it for one conversation with the embodied Christ?
Absolutely.
But we're missing the even better part mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit that even Christ was excited about. Right. This was a moment of excitement that he was sharing with his disciples on his march to death.
Yeah.
We're missing that.
Yeah.
And evangelism is the opportunity to invite the Holy Spirit to use us to participate mm-hmm. in this good work, because yeah. God wants to invite everyone to hear and see and know him. And he invites us to be a part of it. Just as he sent his son, he sends us as well.
Right. Yep.
And so that's good. A beautiful, good work we get to be invited into.
That's really good. I think another thing, like, I've just been challenged on, you know, a lot of these things, like, what do these, like, when God commands us to do these certain things, for example, like evangelism, what does that teach us about humanity? And I think one of the things that we can learn from humanity about this is, like, one, we all need a savior.
Yeah.
Which that could be just glazed over. But, like, I think that's the main thing we learn mm-hmm. from this, too, which we've talked about a lot this season, is, like, we're all searching for something.
Yes.
And you'll see that. You start talking to someone, like, all mm-hmm. of a sudden at the beginning, it just comes out.
Yeah.
Like, people are dealing with stuff. People are searching.
People are
for
not
something.
Well.
They're not.
People are not well out there.
I think we all know that. You look around, it's, like, glaringly obvious. But, like, if we believe these things about humanity, which I think the Bible shows us, then, like, we also believe that we have a solution.
Yes.
A real solution that we've experienced.
Yeah. That's changed us. And yeah. I think that this is a good test of the effectiveness and the fruit of your other practices, because if your other practices, like we've said before, probably in every season, if your other practices are not creating you to be a greater person of love, yep. then they're pointless. Evangelism is a proof of that.
Right.
Because if you truly love people and you know that people are not doing well out there and you know that you have the answer, do you really love people if you're not sharing it?
And like you just said with your definition of neighbor, like, one, do you love the people in your immediate circle mm-hmm. enough?
Yeah.
But do you also have a big enough love like God does for just humanity mm-hmm. in general?
Mm-hmm.
I think that impacts, like, a lot yeah. nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not just like, oh, okay, well, like, me and my bubble.
Yeah.
I love them well enough. Like, maybe I'll have some hard conversations with, like, a friend or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, I think this can have some big implications for the way that we view and interact with society at large.
Yeah. I think also it is a really great opportunity for the Lord to redeem our own suffering.
Mm.
Because mm-hmm. something that I think about is God is a God of generations. And I think about how the burdens that we bear, it's inevitable that you're going to face sorrow in this life.
Inevitable.
Inevitable. Everyone, whether you're a Christian or not, you are going to suffer. Mm-hmm. You're going to experience sorrow and deep pain.
Right.
Joy is something that we have to actively choose. It's a yep. fruit of the Spirit. It's also a main characteristic of God.
Right. And it's given.
And it's given from God to us.
Yeah.
From him who's the source of all joy. But if the world is full of sorrow, we're all going to experience sorrow and suffering. The opportunity that we have to invite the Holy Spirit to redeem that mm-hmm. is by sharing our story.
Yep.
I think of, excuse me, my mom, who is an incredible woman, mm-hmm. had an incredibly difficult childhood.
Yeah.
Had to live with the consequences of her family mm-hmm. and had to bear a lot of pain, suffering, and burdens that she didn't understand why she was having to right. do that. But then she was able to protect me from all of those things because she had bared the suffering so that I wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
So I was able to learn from not even her mistakes, but her family's mistakes that she had chosen differently, mm-hmm. that the Lord redeemed through her.
Right.
Generational curses that he broke so that I wouldn't have to make those same mistakes and suffer those same consequences. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's such a beautiful honesty in vulnerability and sharing the mistakes that you've made and how the Lord redeemed them, because you have no idea how that suffering that you bared is going to be redeemed to bless someone else and change their family line. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there is an incredible opportunity that sometimes is easy for us to miss or be distracted by, of we're going to suffer, but God is the redeemer. He's the restorer. He's the God of generations. So there, he is giving us the opportunity to redeem and store and make our suffering mean something.
Yeah.
Because outside of it being a blessing for someone else, like otherwise, without this idea, we're suffering for no reason.
For nothing.
For nothing. But with God and through evangelism, our suffering can have purpose and can bless other people and break chains in their family line. You just never know how the Lord's going to use it.
That's so good. And it makes me think of the verse, you know, like, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then you have these verses of Jesus and like the apostles telling us to go and do these things. So while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. And then while we're still in progress, we are still commanded to share. So it's never a when you've arrived, you're worthy enough to go and speak. It's while you are in progress, share your progress.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, you know, we're always saying it. You hear all the time, come as you are, come as you are. And it's the same. That applies to evangelism.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, you don't have to reach a point. And honestly, it's way more impactful, like all of us saying, to share in a vulnerable way, talk about the sin you're struggling with and how Jesus is, how the gospel is actively applying to your life. Not one time 20 years ago, I got saved.
Yeah.
Now I'm doing this and my life's been so much better. That can still be true. Yeah. But like, how are you waking up every day and applying the gospel to your life every day?
Yeah.
Why do you still choose every day to be pursuing this life? I think that is so compelling. It, because like we've talked about in the past, it's not repentance one time. Mm-hmm. It's not salvation one time. It's I have been saved. I am being saved and I will be saved. Like, this is a whole lifelong thing. Like, faith is the whole thing. And I think sharing that, like, that's what evangelism should be. It's like, that's why we're saying our testimonies change.
Yeah. So let's talk about how we do this practically. How do you share your testimony? How do you go up to a stranger and tell them about Jesus? Do you have any practical tips, anything that you've learned?
I think for the testimony thing, like, often in times when I've walked through this with people, really simply, I'll just give them three things. What was your life like before Jesus? What was it like when you first encountered Jesus? And then what was your life like afterwards? And a story that's always stuck with me, it's, I mean, I say a story like it's about my husband, but he was early in his walk of like really taking his faith seriously. He started going to this group, this discipleship group. It was his first time going, and they asked him to share his testimony. He went through his whole testimony, shared like about the hard things in his life, all this stuff. And at the end, the leader said, "And when did the gospel change your life?" And Kyle realized that he had shared his whole story without even mentioning when the gospel had changed his life.
Wow.
And I think that is our tendency sometimes. Yeah. It's like, oh, you asked for my testimony. Let me tell you all the horrible things that have happened in my life and how I'm like doing so much better now. But really,
we like to be the hero of our own story. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Funny. Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying. But really, a testimony is like, first of all, it's the same thing as the Bible. Like, God's the main character.
Yeah.
And that's so hard.
Yes.
And, but I think, you know, when you're sharing your testimony, it's the testimony of what God has done in your life. So, you know, it's gospel centered.
Yeah.
And that's so hard when, you know, our culture, like, oftentimes really wants to make faith about anything other than the gospel.
Yeah.
And I think that plays into how we share our testimony. So I think, you know, those three things and remembering, like, are you sharing, like, when and how the gospel changed your life and how it still does today.
I think that's really helpful.
So I think, like, that's how I would share it. And my encouragement would be find opportunities to share it.
Yeah.
Practice it with your friends if you have to. I have a friend who has met with another one of our friends to practice sharing her testimony because she realized she hasn't done it. And she wants to be comfortable doing it if the opportunity arises. And I think that's a good thing to do.
That's really great and practical. I have one question for apologetics. How can you share your testimony apologetically? Or how can you talk about how can you do apologetics well? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yeah, practically yeah, yeah.
Speaking, I don't know how to articulate
that. No, question. I think that's good. So I think one thing that should be mentioned is our testimonies are experiential.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not really, when it comes to sharing your testimony, it's experience. So it can't be, I'm saying that, please give me grace. It can't be argued. That's your yeah. life experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would say, like, there's different times and places for these different types of conversations. I think it's always worth sharing your story, even in an apologetic environment. Yeah. But when it comes to apologetics, I'll say this. This is usually the thing that I, like, try to remind myself. And when I talk to other people about it, is no one has ever been argued into faith.
Yes.
Ever.
That's good. That's good. That's good.
Ever. And that's normally, even when we have the best intentions, we can get embarrassed and that leads us to be defensive. We can come in with the wrong intentions and that leads us to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that verse, that First Peter verse that I read, it says, like, with gentleness.
Yes.
Share really a, you know, a reasoned defense for your faith. Mm-hmm. So I think that verse is what I try to build my philosophy of apologetics on is, you know, like we talked about, like, why do I believe what I believe? What are some questions that I think might pop up, like, either with a specific person or just in general, what are the questions the culture is asking?
Yes.
That might just be a good thing to be aware of. And then, you know, going back to our conversation with Kyle a few episodes ago, like, step into the deconstruction zone a little bit. You don't have to be scared of these questions.
Yeah.
Like, in order to answer them, you have to look at them first.
Yeah.
And you have to see, like, what would be my answer?
Yeah.
And I think when you do that, you know, Peter says, have a well-reasoned defense for your faith with gentleness and kindness. So I think, you know, like Olive has said throughout this season, if it's not making you into a person of love where you're loving other people like Jesus did, then, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I think that applies to apologetics.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree. I think those are so helpful. I think I'm going to echo what you said when I said my hot tips. My hot tips for apologetics or sharing your testimony apologetically is understand the people, know your audience.
Absolutely.
Know your audience and try to understand the people who are asking these questions. So a lot of people, especially if they're asking a hard question about predestination or about God or trying to poke holes in your philosophy,
right.
It's probably stemming from a place of hurt.
Yep.
If someone is aggressive, it's normally because it's coming from a defensive position.
Yes.
So take the time to get to know them. And I'm not talking about, you know, relational equity in a sense. I think a lot of people for a long time use the excuse of, well, I don't know them. I haven't earned the right to talk about things. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily agree with that idea, but I do agree with the sense of someone has to feel like you care about them for them to take anything that you say seriously.
Yes.
And so I'm not saying to, like, hide your faith so that you can be in relationship with them first. Mm. They should know that you're a Christian from the beginning.
Yep.
But you should love them so radically.
Yeah.
It makes them wonder what is different. Mm-hmm. And your life should be a vision of the good life.
Right.
That should be compelling to other people. And that doesn't mean that it's a life that is lacking hard things.
No.
I love what Catherine Wolf says of, like, our lives are the hard good life. It's a vision of the hard good life.
Yeah.
And so the way that you bear suffering, the way that you love people, all of these things are going to make people attracted to what you have that's different from them. Mark Sayers wrote a book called A Non-Anxious Presence.
Mm.
And I think that's so palpable and so impactful in this day and age where it's like we live in a culture of anxiety and of chaos. So if you can be someone who carries a non-anxious presence, people are going to be interested in that.
Absolutely.
And so I think that when you're talking about apologetics, know your audience, love them enough to get to know them and understand what their felt need is, and then ask the Holy Spirit to help you tailor the gospel in a way that is compelling to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not changing or softening the gospel,
no,
but that's understanding their felt need and their pain points,
right,
and showing them how Jesus is the only one who can redeem and restore the suffering, the sorrow, the pain that they're feeling in the world.
Yeah, I think that's good. I'll throw out, like, a few more just practical, like, not super long. I feel like they kind of explain themselves, but when it comes to, like, questions, always ask deeper questions. Like, that's what Olive was getting to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just say, like, a few questions you might come across. Why do bad things happen to good people?
Mm-hmm.
Why does God send people to hell? I would say those questions, like Olive said, always are rooted in something else. So, like, it's rooted in a past suffering that they've mm-hmm. experienced, or somebody else that they really loved experience, or somebody
rejection,
mm-hmm, like church hurt, those things. Like, before you answer those questions, you need to try to figure out what context they're asking from. Not in like a invasive, like manipulative way, but because it forms the way that they're asking that question, mm-hmm, already thinking about it. So I would say ask deeper questions.
Yes.
I would say before you even try to like respond to a lot of these things, understand their story first. Like, yeah, ask them about their story. Have you gone to church before? What do you already believe about Jesus? Like, I want to hear from you,
yeah,
and see what you believe, because otherwise you could be speaking into this space and they're over here.
Yeah.
And you have no idea.
Yeah.
And that's really just how to love people well. You, yes, know, like, ask them those questions. Genuinely care about them enough to know who they are and what they're already believing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would just say, like Olive said, a way to love these people well is to be a good listener.
Yeah.
And loving them well is not just sharing for the sake of sharing, but sharing because you want better for them.
Yeah.
And that comes from a, yeah, heart of love, and not from like a, I want to prove to you that what I believe is the only right thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
It's not about being right. It's about being embodied love.
Yeah.
Is that too philosophical or abstract?
No.
I don't know, but I'm saying,
I love it.
I think that don't try to be in apologetics to be right.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a way that our pride can corrupt this good work.
Yeah.
So don't try to be evangelistic in a way of you want to prove that you're right. You want to prove that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yep.
And the vision of the good life.
Yeah.
And so I think when you change that perspective, the Holy Spirit will use your imperfect answers, because you're never going to answer any of these questions perfectly.
Yeah.
Just like you said, you're never going to debate or argue into someone into faith.
No.
But if you allow space, the Holy Spirit will use you to meet them where they are.
I think that's good. I think another thing to consider in this day and age, your biggest witness, I'll say your biggest helper and maybe your biggest hinderer in this, is living a non-hypocritical life.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to say that you need to cover up your faults. I'm saying that I think you need to be more honest about your faults.
Yes.
And that's what makes your life non-hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just say, like, you know, we mentioned that earlier, but I think in this day and age, almost everyone comes to the table with an expectation that Christians are hypocrites.
Yeah.
You are now working against that,
yeah,
truth. And the way to address that is not with words.
Yeah.
It's always with actions.
Yep.
Because we are battling actions.
Yeah.
So the way to battle it is with more actions.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just say, like Olive said, like, love them with more than these conversations,
yeah,
so that they have a reason to listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Be yourself a compelling reason.
Yep. That's good. So yeah, we titled this episode, Is Christianity Worth Sharing? And in short, I would say yes, because Jesus is worth knowing.
Mm-hmm.
That's
good.
That's the point. That's what we're getting at. And hopefully that's your lived experience,
yeah,
and that would be your motivation to do it. And
yeah,
as always, we're not asking you to go out there and pass out tracts. We're asking you, like, you already know the people in your life.
Yes. If you just ask God to put someone on your heart, he gonna put someone on your heart.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really just being a good neighbor, loving them, and being honest about the way that the Lord has been working, yeah, in your life.
It's really good.
It's good.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that's it.
Yeah. I think this was good. I hope this was helpful. I hope,
yeah,
it was encouraging and not scary.
Yeah. Or shameful. We're not trying,
yeah,
to shame
not
anyone.
Because this
also
is something we want to grow in.
We
want
to grow in. We want to grow in this too, because,
yeah,
I think that it's easy for us to ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit because we want to confuse that with an emotional experience.
Yeah.
And so I think that the goal of this for me personally is to shorten the time between prompting and obedience.
That's good.
I want to prompt because that's the only way you practice hearing the voice of God. Because I think that sometimes I always doubt when the Lord puts something on my heart, I always doubt, like, oh, is this God? Is this coming from me? Is this rooted in something else that's not of him? Blah, blah, blah. If you're just obedient, you'll find out really quick if it's from the Lord or not.
Yeah.
And so the way that we practice hearing clarity, hearing God's voice more clearly, is by obeying.
Yeah.
And so I think evangelism and apologetics is a way that we're able to,
right,
shorten that gap and practice hearing the voice of God.
That's good. That's good. Well, we hope this episode was helpful. And yeah, we hope that this is hopefully encouraging, inspiring for you to go have your own conversations.
Yeah. Thanks. Love you guys.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for that conversation. We hope you enjoyed it. If you're interested in finding out more, you can follow us on Instagram or head over to our website at thescripturesociety.com.